Welcome to Slice of Life. Because a bite was not enough, you've listened to Brenda's Bites for years, and now Brenda is expanding her show to include lifestyle happenings from around the region. Now here's your host, Brenda Alacy.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of Slice of Life on this Saturday morning. Well, as always, it's so much fun to be here and to talk to people from around the region about all the happenings in Western New York and Southern Ontario. In fact, in just a moment, we're going to talk to Tina and Tatiana about the Festival of Lights in Ontario coming up in just a couple of weeks. And then later in the show, we're going to head south to the South Towns, that is, and talk with Carol Mazou from the Armor Inn and Tap Room. It's a pleasure this week to welcome back Tina Myers, who has been on the show once before, and to welcome to the show for the first time Tatiana Jalouvka. And these ladies are from the Ontario Power Generation Winter Festival of Lights. Tina, that's quite a mouthful.
That is. Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure. Good morning to both of you and welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Well, the Ontario Power Generation sounds like a big factory to me, but in reality, it is all part of the Winter Festival of Lights, correct?
That's correct. It's how we're powered. So that gives us all of our hydro. They're a great sponsor. So, yes.
Now, Tina, you're the executive director of the Winter Festival of Lights, and it starts, before you know it, in a couple of weeks. November 16th are the opening ceremonies, and it goes all the way through January, correct?
That's correct. January 12th is our closing night.
Very nice. So you've got a couple of months to take advantage of it. For folks who are unfamiliar with what this is, there's a big opening ceremony on the 16th, but what should people expect as they come to Niagara Falls, Ontario, we should point out, for this festival?
For the festival, we're going to kick it off on November 16th with our opening ceremonies, and this is where we do our traditional flip the switch. But we have something new in store with all-day activities with the whole family. So you can come out to Queen Victoria Park in Niagara Falls, Ontario, and there will be 15 illuminated seesaws. We'll have activities, and I'll let Tatiana kind of jump in on some of those activities that are taking place because we have a huge amount of family fun.
And Tatiana, you are the events and programming coordinator for the Winter Festival of Lights. What do you have planned?
So for our opening ceremonies on November 16th, they're presented by RBC, and RBC will be bringing in some Canadian Olympic athletes. And we will also have our Home Depot Kids Workshop, Mad Science, some vendors and food trucks, and we'll have meet and greets with Peppa Pig and PJ Masks for the little ones, as well as a fireworks finale going off.
How great. So literally something for everybody.
That's correct. And the fireworks finale is an 8-minute musical. So that will be very exciting. There will be low-level and high-level fireworks. And of course, those can be seen on both sides. But we want you to come over and see the Festival of Lights.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. Now, when you talk about lights, you're not kidding. I was looking at your website. By the way, that website is really impressive. I urge you to go to the website. And Tina, go ahead and plug the website address.
WFOL.com.
Easy enough. WFOL, standing for Winter Festival of Lights.com. You don't even have to type that all out. And when I was looking at the information, more than 3 million lights. I wouldn't want to pay that bill. But so when people talk about the lights, what exactly are you speaking of specifically? Like, do you see them all over a given area? What are the actual lights like?
That's correct. We have an 8-kilometer route along the Niagara Parkway and throughout Dufferin Islands and a few places within our business improvement area. So the Fallsview BIA, Victoria Center BIA, and Clifton Hill and Lundy's Lane. Queen Street. So all of these areas, we have a map that we will hand out at Dufferin Islands, and it will let each of our visitors know exactly where each of the light art exhibits and interactive illuminations are. As well, new this year, we have the Great Treasure Hunt. And the Great Treasure Hunt is augmented reality, which you use with your mobile device, and you will actually be able to bring up these images at various locations.
So truly interactive, because who isn't walking around with their phone these days, right?
That's correct.
And that's really what you try to take advantage of, right, Tatiana? Because everybody is very connected. And certainly you have different activities for children, for men, women, but also you want people to feel connected and engaged. Was that the idea behind the interaction?
Yes, exactly. So we have multiple interactive illuminations this year. As mentioned, we'll have the seesaws. We also have a loop, which is six large animated fairy tale loops at the base of Clifton Hill, where you have to be with a partner and you have to push the bar back and forth, as well as a brand new one that we're really excited to debut in Niagara Falls. It's called Roseau. And it's six cattails, and visitors are encouraged to swing around it. And it's going to, no one has seen it before. So you have to see it at our Winter Festival of Lights.
So you're debuting this. So now this is not the first time the Winter Festival of Lights have been around, right, Tina? As a matter of fact, you said it's the 37th annual. But I imagine that you always want to bring something new to the party, if you will.
That's correct. Every year we try to beat the last year in illuminations. And this year we're really excited to be able to debut not just one new item that will be featured for the very first time, but I believe we have five new illuminations that will be debuted in Niagara Falls, Ontario this year.
Now, you were saying it's, what, 8 kilometers?
That's correct.
And then, so, obviously, people would have to drive, right? Or do you find that some people actually walk? Or both?
Well, actually, it's interesting that you asked that. It's 8 kilometers, and you can do the driving route. But then, along the way, there are parking nodes where you can park, get out of your car, and interact with the different displays. Many of these illumination displays now are interactive and things that you can play with. So we have illuminated swings that are spread out over 55 feet long that have giant play letters that are about 8 feet tall that will change colors as you're playing. We have music to light, which as you pass the musical notes, they will change colors and are interactive, as well as keys on the ground. You can step on the keys and they change colors.
Oh, that's fantastic. That reminds me a lot about the movie Big with Tom Hanks. I don't know if you remember that, where he actually stood on the keys. I mean, that was one of my favorite scenes. I think they were at FAO Schwartz in New York, the famous toy store. So there's really a lot of fun things. And you try to keep it somewhat local, too, right? You help local vendors?
Absolutely.
And use local vendors?
Absolutely.
And in what way? I mean, do you use them for the actual work of, obviously, of installing it, right? But what about the local event folks who are in Canada?
So it has a huge local impact when it comes to the 100 volunteers that it takes, as well as local suppliers from our electricians, our Niagara Parks Commission, and all the different vendors locally. But then also we are worldwide. So one of our pieces is actually coming from Los Angeles, from a fabricator there, a symbolic piece. It's a Canadian designed art piece, but it was manufactured in LA. We also have a few that are coming from eight pieces that are coming from around the world, different light art exhibits. So we do, it's kind of coming from all over.
We're talking with Tina Myers, who is the executive director of the Winter Festival of Lights, and also Tatiana Jalovka. Please, you pronounce your last name for me.
Tatiana Jalovka.
Not so hard, right? And Tatiana, it's all about the logistics here, right? And you can't do anything without good logistics. Is the biggest challenge the opening ceremony, Tatiana?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's the opening ceremonies. It's everything that goes on as soon as our festival finishes in January. So it's starting there, thinking of what our next events are going to be, which light art pieces we're going to bring, what new illuminations we're going to feature during the year. It all starts right after our one festival ends. So
no rest for the weary, as they say, huh? Now, when it comes to the Friday night winter fireworks, it's presented by Fallsview Casino.
That's correct.
And Tina, do you work in collaboration with a lot of the local businesses in Niagara Falls, Ontario for your project?
Yes, and they're all huge supporters. So the Fallsview Casino, along with the BIAs, the Hotel Association, the City of Niagara Falls, the Ministry, they're all huge sponsors for the Winter Festival of Lights, along with like Ontario Power Generation.
Yes, yes, and that would, of course, make sense. And, you know, when you do this year in and year out, I'm sure you try to make things different and fun every year. You don't want to have the same things, because do you find that you get a lot of repeat customers, people coming in every year to see this?
Absolutely.
Do you have any sort of like census about who does come and see your event?
We do have an economic impact that is taken every year. So we do have good statistics on where people are coming from and how far. And we're bringing in 1.8 million visitors each year with a $98 million economic impact.
That's tremendous. 1.8 million visitors.
That's correct.
Well, especially in what is not viewed as tourist season, right? It's cold. It might be wet. The days are short. So that's got to be such a boon to the economy.
Absolutely.
Now, you were voted among the best attractions in Ontario, right? So another feather in your cap. You're up against a couple of other well-known entities north of the border.
Yes, so we're a finalist against Science North and the African Lion Safari.
That's great. I want to ask you, too, about the Timbit Hockey is presented by my favorite coffee place of all time. I am definitely a Timaholic. The Timbit Hockey is among the new installations. Tell us about that.
So that is a very Canadian display.
Of course it is.
The beaver and
the polar bear.
Polar bear, that's right.
They're on an ice rink, and they have hockey pucks, and they've got a beautiful box of Timbits.
Well, who wouldn't want one of those boxes? And then you have a giant walkthrough with ornaments, also presented by a sponsor, Mohegan Gaming and Entertainment.
That's correct. So it's a beautiful large-scale ornament that has benches inside. You can walk through it, take your pictures, or have a seat.
Now, for folks who are thinking, gee, how much time do I set aside for this? What would you suggest, especially for somebody who has not been there before?
If you haven't been there before and you really want to experience it, come for the night. So it'll give you an opportunity to go drive through the lights and then park and actually experience the lights. So that's the difference. When you do the great treasure hunt and go to each of the installations and learn about the light artists, this will be a full evening. You can grab some dinner, watch the fireworks, and then stay overnight.
That's perfect. And you have food trucks available throughout the entire run?
There will be food vendors for the opening ceremonies, but other than that, we have all of our partners who have restaurants and venues available.
And there's so much good food. In fact, one of my favorites is at the AG-inspired cuisine.
Mm.
Love the Sterling Inn, and especially that farm-to-table movement that has really taken hold there. There's so many good places to eat in Canada, and good wine, as we know, as well.
Absolutely.
And it wouldn't be fair to not mention some of your sponsors. You had said RBC, right? Are they among your sponsors? Because we can't pull events off like this without major support.
The festival has a large number of sponsors, so we're very excited to feature so many of them, and they can all be seen on our website as well. But RBC is the presenting sponsor for our opening ceremonies, as well as we have Hornblower Cruises that is a sponsor, the Ontario Power Generation, obviously, is our naming sponsor, and then, of course, the Hotel Association, the BIAs, the City of Niagara Falls, and the Niagara Parks Commission.
When you cross the bridge, Tina, are there, as you said, there may be maps that are handed out. How does somebody know where to go? Is there signage?
There will be signage along the parkway as well as maps that we have. And you can download a copy of the map on our website at WFOL.com.
Oh, that's great. That's a great idea because that way you know what to do and where to look, especially if you're coming off a different bridge or, you know, it's easy to access. And this is free, right?
Absolutely free.
That's my favorite F word is free. So that's great. And before we close, are you on social media as well?
That's correct. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so come follow us.
I imagine it must be thrilling for you, both Tina and Tatiana, when people start posting pictures of the lights when they've experienced it on social media. They must really make your day.
Exactly. We love to see all the different camera angles that everyone takes in their videos of them having fun, enjoying our opening ceremonies, all the different interactive displays. Yes, if you could hashtag WFOL. We'd love to feature you on one of our social platforms.
Hashtag WFOL. It almost sounds like a radio station. But I love this. This is great. And again, it runs from November 16th, which is the opening ceremonies, through January 12th, a real holiday tradition. Plenty of time to get over there, especially, I would say, after the holidays, because kind of a letdown. There's not a whole lot to do. Perfect time to go. And go a few times. Tina Myers, Tatiana Jalupka, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having us.
We're going to talk a little food heading to the South Towns with my friend Carol from the Armor Inn right after this.
Are you a fan of succulent hand-carved beef and turkey? Do you like having fish fries available every day? Then come experience fresh, scratch-made favorites at the historic Glen Park Tavern in the heart of Williamsville. The Glen Park Tavern's hand-carved beef and turkey are available in-house or for parties as well. Enjoy a delicious selection of hearty salads, sides, and soups 7 days a week. Visit the Glen Park Tavern on Main near Cayuga in Williamsville. It's not just a meal, it's an experience.
The kerfuffle before Christmas 2019. Night 2, December 13th. The Rapids Theater with Sum 41. Their Dirty Nil. And The Unlikely Candidates. The kerfuffle before Christmas 2019. Tickets are on sale now at alternativebuffalo.com with special thanks to Liberty Cab and Atwal Eye Care. All your info is waiting at alternativebuffalo.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Slice of Life. Now back to your hostess with the mostest, Brenda Alacy.
And welcome back to this edition of Slice of Life on your weekend. Hope it's off on the right foot. And as always, thank you to Kevin Carr for taking care of all the technical tasks behind the scenes here. The K-Carr helping us out week in and week out. Well, what a pleasure to welcome for the first time to Slice of Life, Carol Mazou. Carol is the GM at the Armor Inn and Tap Room in Hamburg. Carol, welcome. Good morning.
Well, thank you. Good morning to you, too.
Nice to have you here, Carol. And I have to say, I was introduced to your place a few months ago, and I was very impressed by how spacious the restaurant and bar is. The location you can't miss because it's right on the corner of Abbott and Armor Duels and Bayview, where they all come together in Hamburg. When people ask you, Carol, as the GM, what type of food and atmosphere you find at the Armor Inn, what do you say?
Well, we're primarily a smokehouse, but I think we have a gastro pub kind of atmosphere
yes.
to it. And it's open spaces, kind of one floor seating and a big patio that's been going great all summer long with fire pits and a bar outside. And we also do live music outside, too, during the summer with the bike nights. It's a big draw.
Right. Yeah. And I would imagine we had such a nice summer this year. You probably were out there day in and day out, right? It was pretty
incredible.
Good run.
Yeah, never a dull moment. And we're grasping every bit of sunshine, and people are still eating out there. As of yesterday, they were still eating outside.
I believe it. We've had some nice Indian summer weather.
Right.
Now, you've been in the business a long time. What do you think makes this place different? Is it the fact that you can do the smokehouse, the entertainment, the proximity to the Bill Stadium, all of that? Is that what makes Armor Inn unique?
I think that's that you nailed it. That is the unique thing about the Armor Inn. It's just the location. It's the one of a kind in the South Towns area. There is really nothing like it within 20-mile radius of that place.
You know, Carol, for the longest time, I always felt like the South Towns was a bit of a desert when it came to good dining. And just like you say, the gastro pub type of menu. Because I eat out a lot, probably more than we should. But I enjoy that whole gastro pub kind of cuisine. And if you don't know what that is, to at least my definition of it is, it's sort of pub food, a step up from pub food. Would you agree that's what you would call gastropub?
Yeah, it's a gastropub, so it's an exciting thing, scratch kitchen.
Yes.
And we have, you know, my chefs in the kitchen back there are always creating something different. So if your fancy isn't necessarily smoked food, you're going to find all kinds of other things, with salmon, bone-in ribeyes, pasta dishes daily. We also have the Bozzana Pizza there, which is renowned here in the area. It's almost an occult following.
And people are very loyal to their pizza.
It's insane. 136 slices of pepperoni, 2.5 pounds of cheese, and I could elaborate more, but I don't want to take up too much time here.
No, that's great to know. So you have a partnership with the folks at Bozzana.
Well, no, we took it over. We have the rights to all the recipes and whatnot. As long as we keep it the same.
Right. You can't tamper with it, huh?
If we change it, boy, we're going to get in trouble.
And people will let you know.
Oh, they do let you know. If there's one little pepperoni out of place, we're in trouble. But we maintain it, and it's been great for us. But again, with the food, I think that you can find just about anything there that you're looking for.
And your hours are what, lunch and dinner?
Lunch and dinner. It's a one menu for the entire day. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of stuff for that.
And tell us, let's dive into the food a little bit, Carol. I'm looking at a new menu that you were kind enough to bring in. You want to go a little light, you have Mediterranean salad, caprese salad, or you want to go full bore, you know, you can jump into some burgers. And as you said, you have such a variety of smoked dishes, but that's not the only thing that you're offering. Let's talk about some of the newer items. You had mentioned a Creole pasta. What's in that?
Well, the Creole pasta is going to have, well, it's obviously Creole based, so you're going to have a Cajun flair to it. It's going to have the crawdaddies in there, fresh Gulf shrimp, scallops, shucked oysters, and it has what we call the Holy Trinity of vegetables, which is peppers, onions, and celery.
Mm-hmm.
This is a key to Cajun food cooking.
Absolutely.
And it's all combined with a creamy Cajun sauce, and then it's tossed with pasta. And we actually take this okra, and we have a flour mix that we do with salt and pepper. We dice little bits of lemon in this, right?
Ooh.
And we have a couple of little spices in there, and we toss the okra in here, and we deep fry it nice and crispy, and we sprinkle that across the top.
That makes for an
unbelievable dish.
Oh, my gosh, Carl, that sounds like true attention to detail. Where you have, because of the okra, has a creaminess in and of itself, and then you deep fry it and it has some crunch.
It pops in your
mouth. Yeah, I can't wait to try that.
It's exciting.
I love anything Creole style. And speaking of other types of cuisines and ethnicities, the Cuban quesadilla, that's a little different because that combines, you know, again, traditional Cuban sandwich would be pulled pork, the ham, the Swiss cheese, pickles, and the mustard. Do you find that people are pretty adventurous when it comes to different types of food like this?
Absolutely. They're looking for something, out of the box there.
Right.
Step in the next direction, and just that's where the gastro part comes in. We're just mixing these things up and creating a dish that's elite from other places.
About 2 years ago, we went on vacation to Sedona in Arizona, and we had some grilled street corn in the Southwest. Boy, was that delicious. I still think about that meal a lot. And I see you offer that as well under your appetizers. And that's a couple of ears of corn, open flame grilled. And there's something about putting some cheese and mayo on that corn that really works.
Incredible.
Wow.
This is a fan favorite there.
I can imagine.
We not only do that, then you get the cotija cheese over the top. You grill it. It has this chipotle mayo, and it's open flame grilled. And then we splatter some seared roasted vegetables around the plate. So you're getting a little combination of more than what you just think when you say street corn.
It's almost like a meal in itself.
I would like to say it could be.
Yeah, I think so.
Order a little bit more than just street corn. You want to really explore the menu.
Oh, no doubt about it. Carol, I noticed, too, that you guys feature Roos pierogies, which, of course, is a Buffalo thing. Do you try to help out other local purveyors as much as possible?
Oh, absolutely. We're all about farm-to-table here. We work with some local Braymiller's is our produce company. There's a small little produce place out in the South Downs. And it's all – we get all from – right fresh – produce from the farms right to us.
That's so perfect. Yeah, and I think people are more aware of that than ever, that they like to have that freshness, and they're more apt to order something that they think is farm to table because there is that freshness that you just can't duplicate.
Right.
And Carol, you've been in the business a while. Do you think that trend will continue?
Oh, absolutely.
Farm to table and local produce and purveyors.
I think it's always been there. It's just being exploited more. There is no other way to do it.
Right.
You know, let's not rip a bag open and pour it into a pan. That's just not right.
Or throw it into a microwave.
Let us chefs cook for you the right way, and you'll enjoy it much more.
We're talking with Carol Mazou from Armor Inn and Tap Room. Carol is the general manager. Did you get in the kitchen at all, Carol?
Oh, yeah. I got a background as a chef, too. So I keep everybody in line when it comes to that.
I can imagine. Yeah. Well, there's nothing like having been there, right?
So I've been there.
You know what to expect. We talked a little about entertainment at your place. Let's get into that a little more deeply. Do you have certain nights of the week where you have entertainment? How does that all work? And do you charge extra for that?
No, there's no extra charge. So right now we have entertainment five nights out of the week. Tuesday, right now we're doing a trivia.
Oh,
trivia
nice.
Night for the winter months. And then Wednesday is our country night. We have line dancing, starts around 6:30. That there is a small cover charge, but you can turn your ticket in for a cocktail or put it towards your bill if
and you have a full bar, right?
Oh, there's a full bar going on. We have we have over 36 taps, so all kinds of different beers that you can choose from. But as getting back to the country night, then you get the line dancing classes at 6:30, and then 7:30, the bands come on, and then it's just crazy.
Fantastic.
Crazy fun. We're doing karaoke on Thursdays right now. Friday and Saturday's more upbeat modern music to classic rock, and then we do acoustics on Sunday, which also we do the Bills game.
Right, right. Now, for folks who have heard the Armor Inn's commercials, we had many commercials running on WGR, one of our sister stations here, just a few weeks ago. And then you may have heard Carol's Place, the Armor Inn, with our Buffalo Perks program. And we talked a lot about the menu items and the other amenities available at the restaurant. Well, one of the things we talked about was the fact that you've got this great Bills buffet prior to the game. And then you take folks to the game, right?
Which means so
they don't have to worry about it. Yeah. How great is that? Just pull up to the Bills game in a limo.
Perfect. So you get there. We open around 9:30. Do multiple trips to the game, and we're serving you a 10 Schaefer brunch.
Wow.
There's everything on this thing. We got, I mean, I could run down a list, but some of the main ones is, of course, eggs Benedict, scrambled eggs, roasted chicken, mac and cheese. All kinds of fresh salads, fresh fruit, fresh pastries being made. This thing is big, okay? It's one of the best, I think. And then when you come back, we're going to do a Buffalo Love buffet, feed you a little bit more. We want to keep you nice and fat and sassy.
I guess so.
And everybody goes home happy.
Waddle out of your doors there, huh? And so how does it work with the transportation, Carol? Do you have to be at the restaurant at a certain point? You eat your huge brunch and then head over to the limo?
Yeah, I mean, the limo's there. It's $25 a person. So once you've eaten, say you wanted to leave at 10:15, there's be a group of you leaving at the same time. The limo takes you down and then comes back and makes another trip.
Nice.
And the same thing when you're on the post game. They're coming back, and again, when you're ready to go, there's a drop-off point. You meet them at the drop-off point. They pick you up, and they bring you back.
Fantastic.
And you're parking at our place. You don't have to go through the mayhem over there and all the knuckleheads in the
– Right.
Well, some of them in the parking lots. Yep. Not all of them are, but some of them are, and you can avoid all that stuff.
It's funny you bring that up. I was a long-time season ticket holder. And I used to hate walking through those parking lots on the way home.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of knuckleheads out there. So it's great to have somebody pick you up, take you back, and have more food to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
At the Armor Inn. You could just relax, kind of let the traffic go, and head out. This is the Armor Inn and Tap Room, folks. If you haven't been there, you're really missing something. Right in the heart of the South Towns, 5381 Abbott Road. You can't miss it. It's a big, I call that sort of a big wooden porch that you see when you pull up.
Yeah, it's got a great kind of country look to the place.
Yes, it does. It
has a little honky tonk look to the outside of the building. It's been there forever. It's been modified and made into a better facility.
Well, Carol, with you at the helm, I'm sure it'll go even bigger and better. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All
you do for us.
It was our pleasure. That'll put a wrap on this edition of Slice of Life. As always, thanks for carving out a slice, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Thanks for listening. Brenda will be back next Slice of Life on ESPN 1520.